Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
President Biden, as you know, this week approved Ukraine's use of U.S.-made long-range missiles in Russia, which they immediately deployed. Russia then responded by using a new kind of experimental ballistic missile with multiple warheads. Take a listen to the Pentagon.
This was a new type of lethal capability that was employed on the battlefield. So that's certainly of concern to us.
The modern air defense systems in the world and the anti-missile defenses created by the Americans in Europe do not intercept such missiles.
Congressman, was this a good move by the Biden team this week? And how concerned are you about this new Russian weapon on the battlefield?
This is a clear escalation. And the concern has been, where is this escalation going? This was in response to, in large part, to North Korea sending troops. We've now responded by allowing these strikes deeper into Russia. I want to be clear that they are hitting things like supply depots and airfields and pushing the Russian offensive back. They're not going all the way to Moscow or St. Petersburg, but where is all of this escalation going?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is Congressman Mike Walls, soon to be the National Security Advisor for incoming President Trump, talking on, this is a Fox News Sunday yesterday, about, you know, where all this is going and what you're seeing as a move gets a counter move gets a counter move, right? Because, you know, what happened is you bring North Koreans to the fight. So in order to push back your capability to operate inside of Ukraine, we allowed our missiles to be used at a, you know, basically a longer distance inside of Russia in order to create the, you know, the weapon engagement zone, basically the distance from us to where we can actually attack a target. We push that back. That means that they have to, you know, if they're going to basically come into the fight, they're going to come into the fire zone in order to retreat to safety, in order to, you know, rest or resupply. They've got to go farther away is kind of the theory of all of this. And, you know, that creates disruption. And since the Russians have shown such a poor capability of resupply and logistics, there's some value in being able to push them away from the border. Now, they had missile technology that they were using from the Europeans, is my understanding, that allowed them to do some of it. But they didn't have as many and the distance wasn't quite as far. So it's not like they had no ability before to, you know, attack inside of Russia. But, you know, if you're using somebody else's missiles, like you're borrowing somebody else's gun, you still got to have permission to use the gun a certain way. And that was the big change. So the Biden administration appropriately, I think it was a good decision to allow the use of this weapon inside of Russia. It struck me as the craziest of things that we would tell Ukraine, no, you can only fight back against the aggressor state which actually come into your territory. What? They're actually engaged inside territory over and over and over again, and you're only allowed to fight them back to your border? I mean, that's an impossible tactical situation. But that's kind of been operating, or something like that is what they were operating on for a while. Anyway, so, you know, the response from Russia is, oh, well, we're going to show you this, you know, this new kind of, multiple reentry vehicle, ballistic missile. I don't say intercontinental because we're not quite sure what the range is. But, you know, and Mike Wallace is like, yeah, the real concern we have here is when does the escalating stop? And that, of course. And, of course, the escalating is happening now while, the wrong person is president. You know, the person who hasn't shown the capability to really stop anything.
South Korea is talking about somehow getting involved. And President Trump has been very clear about the need to end this conflict. And so what we're need to be discussing is who's at that table, whether it's an agreement, an armistice, how to get both sides to the table, and then what's the framework of a deal.
Yeah, and look, just because Mike Wall says we need to get to the table and get a deal done doesn't mean it happens any more than when Kamala Harris kept saying again and again, well, we just got to solve it in Israel, which, of course, is we have no plan and no leverage and not even an idea of how we can make it work. Just saying it has to happen does not make it happen, of course. Now, the other thing that he was interviewed about, Mike Walls, and again, I want to bring this to you because, A, he's from Florida, and B, he's the new national security advisor coming in. So, you know, shaping the theory and, you know, doctrine of the next president and what they are doing. The other big announcement was that Ukraine would be allowed to deploy landmines along its border, which is kind of a big deal. And a lot of the people who hate landmines and don't believe them and oppose them and talk about how they sit in the ground and they become a danger for subsequent generations, which is a fair concern, certainly about past technology, maybe not as much about current technology, but he was asked about that. I'll share you his thoughts on that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking really good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And, you know, just if you're not really familiar with the ethical thinking around landmines, you know, might help to actually approach it from a different angle, which is, what do you think about autonomous defense systems? You know, what do you think about putting, a dog, a robot dog, like the Boston Dynamics ones that you've all seen, putting a machine gun on the back of a dog and having him patrol the perimeter and shoot anything that moves? Well, that should terrify you. Like, that should terrify you. Because the dog brain, you know, is just killing the whatever. There's no distinction of targets. And so you have civilians could easily wind up being the victims of that, just as well as enemy combatants and certainly friendly combatants. That's one of the challenges of autonomous systems, is how do you configure them so that they only kill the bad guys? Well, you know, a landmine is sort of, kind of the original autonomous system. I mean, it's a very, very simple autonomous system. Historically, you step on it, it blows up. So that kills bad guys, good guys, children, the aged, you know, everybody, right? So the problem with landmines conceptually, ethically, has always been that it's indiscriminate. That's and long-lasting. You know, once you put, it's easy to put them in, it's very hard to take them out. And people don't usually go, you know, the losing side doesn't usually go after itself and clean up its mess. And so they're just left there. Anyway, so we have given Ukraine certain, you know, permission to use these. And Mike Waltz asked about that.
Well, these mines are the type that you can turn on, turn off. They're smart mines. But at the same time, it does, it is a step towards somewhat solidifying the lines. And we also needed to stop Russian gains. So there's a number of factors involved there.
And that certainly, to the degree that technology is reliable, that cuts down on some of the ethical objections over time. That may or may not cut down on the ethical objections in use right now, right? Because it still can kill indiscriminately whomever. But what he's getting at is right now there's just no deterrent effect against the Russians coming across the border. So if you create a personnel-threatening wall of sorts, space on a map, you start to defend the lawfully defensible border that Ukraine is trying to prevent Russia from crossing. And that's what he's trying to get at here, is this may not be the ideal technology from an ethical standpoint, but it is also something that is defending a much broader ethical concern of protecting borders in a universe made up of nation states.
Again, one side escalating, the other side escalating. This needs to be within a broader framework to end this conflict. It is, Jillian, it is a just an absolute meat grinder of people and personnel on that front. It is more like World War I trench warfare. President Trump is incredibly concerned about the carnage that is taking place there. And again, how do we restore deterrence, and how do we bring peace?
That's exactly right. All war, I don't get a lot of chance to talk about this with you, but it's worth knowing that when you think about the concept of just war theory, which, I mean, that may be a phrase you're familiar with, that may be a phrase you've never heard in your life. Just war theory is the collected, somewhat agreed upon doctrines of when war is right and what kind of war is right. There's two dimensions to it, the rightness of the war and then the rightness of the warfare itself. Right, you can be engaged appropriately in a defensive war for the territory of your country against an unjust incursion from a foreign power. Self-defense, national self-defense, is a just war. You cannot use terrorism in defense of your territory because it is unjust warfare, because terrorism specifically targets civilians and uses them as a weapon against the emotions and the morale of the enemy. And, you know, non-combatants cannot be targeted legitimately by combatants. That's part of the ethics of warfare. And the reason is because ultimately the justice of war is defined by it being aimed at restoring peace. Warfare that produces peace is just. Warfare that interferes with or makes it impossible to achieve peace is unjust, generally speaking. That's why terrorism, for example, is unjust warfare, because it doesn't aim at peace. It aims at escalation. It makes it harder to achieve peace. Following the rules of warfare, internationally agreed upon, makes it possible to seek a peace thereafter because there are limitations and restrictions. And you're still killing the enemy, but you're still treating the enemy as if they're civilized, basically, in the process of engaging in just warfare, what you might think of as, you know, the Geneva Convention kind of stuff. Anyway, so his idea, as he's expressing from the Trump camp, is the purpose of war is actually to reduce death. The purpose of war is to restore global order, is to restore peace, and to defend and deter against it. You know, the reason we build up massive armies is so we never have to use them. You know, the reason you put a sticker on the front of your house that says, you know, protected by Smith & Wesson is so you don't have to use the gun. You scare them into behaving better. Well, a big military is supposed to scare people into behaving better. It doesn't always work, but that's at least the goal of it. So he was asked, Mike Waltz was asked about, you know, Trump's views, since Trump hasn't said a lot about Ukraine since he's been the president-elect.
Well, the president-elect has been very concerned about the escalation and where it's all going. If you know, North Korea has made this move, we have made a move, Russia has now responded, Iran is involved, South Korea is thinking about getting involved, our allies have now you know, extended the range of their missiles as well. So we need to bring this to a responsible end. We need to restore deterrence, restore peace, and get ahead of this escalation ladder rather than responding to it.
Yeah, he's exactly right. He's exactly right. And again, catch in there the concept of getting back to peace, establishing peace. The idea is to avert warfare, to prevent death and mayhem and destruction, while preserving a world order in which you have boundaries around nation states in which people can form their governments freely. It doesn't always work that way, but, you know, that's the goal of the thing. And so having, you know, one country like Russia invade another country like Ukraine and take back territory, we can't stand for that. You know, that's no good. So we have to get engaged in, you know, thwarting that in the future and fixing that in the present. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, I recommend Frontier Motors. Go look around at their massive selection of 300 or so good quality used cars, Jeeps, trucks, SUVs, sedans, sports cars, you know, whatever. They've got a lot of stuff. And, you know, they might have 15 or 30, you know, economy cars, if that's the thing you're looking for. And then you can really compare all kinds of different makes and models and even trim levels within those models. Same thing for the sedans. Same thing for the trucks. The reason I say that is because we tend to pretty quickly narrow our options when we're shopping for a car. And I'm saying broaden them just a little bit so that you can really compare some stuff. Because, you know, you might be thinking, well, what I really want is a Civic. Okay, why don't you drive an Accord and then decide? You know, why don't you drive a Celica or, you know, what? I don't even know current car brands very well. And it would show pretty, a Camry, sorry, a Celica's an old brand. Drive a Camry. Maybe that's what you like. Drive a Cruze. You know, maybe that's what you like. Maybe drive a Malibu. They're all in one place and you can compare them side by side and then decide what you like. And if you find something you like, you can buy it. Or if you get close but you don't like the color or you want something with a different trim package, or maybe what they have has too many miles or not enough miles, you know, you want a little bit lower price for higher miles, you're willing to make that trade, send them looking for the car you want. They do that for people all the time. And they warranty all their cars to 100,000 miles in 10 years. So they're going to be good, whatever they sell you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Whether you're planning ahead or in need of immediate assistance, end-of-life planning can present one of life's greatest challenges. What needs to be done, how to do it, or even where to start? You'll want a caring expert to help. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. as West Florida Cremations answers your questions. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and speak with your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all things holiday in downtown Pensacola, including tree lights, holiday cubes, and where you can find Santa.
Santa! They have a Santa!
Tomorrow at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3.
The winner of the prestigious Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year from the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informative, local, dependable.
Go ahead, make my millennium.
Sequel to Beetlejuice, and it's fine.
Don't ruin it.
No, I won't. Oh, okay. I won't. Beetlejuice is not my favorite movie ever, you know, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I will say this, it seemed pretty consistent with the first one.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not sure it had any of the great moments like the first one had, you know, sitting around the table or whatever, but yeah, it's fine. You know, it's fine. It probably satisfies some itch in you to have a sequel for that movie, if it even existed. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Just one accident on the books right now at Old Palafox and Brent Lane. There's no roadblock associated with that one. Just some minor delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John, thanks so much for the update. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Menendez brothers have a court hearing scheduled today in an effort to have their sentences reduced. Eric and Lyle Menendez are currently serving life sentences for the 1989 murders of their parents in California. There's been a lot of renewed interest in their case since the Netflix true crime series was released. Donald Trump has nominated Brooke Rollins to lead the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Rollins served on Trump's Economic Advisory Council in 2016 and currently serves as the CEO of the America First Policy Institute. And are you guys fans of the McRib?
Nope.
No?
I know it makes me a weirdo in the whole universe of fast food, but no.
I'm
it's
there
never
with you.
Struck
you're
me
not
the right
that
way.
Weird, I don't think.
No, you're not at all.
Yeah. I'm there with you.
I agree. It's low quality barbecue. I would rather eat. There's so much good barbecue in the universe. Why would I pick that?
It's all sauce, no substance, but it's coming back soon.
Or the substance is chewy.
Well, that. it's coming back, let's see, starting today, I believe. And they're also, though, in addition to selling the McRibs, they're selling jugs of the McRib sauce, if that's something you like.
Also, pass. Just for me personally, you know. So, do you have a favorite barbecue sauce?
Oh, so many.
I mean, there's so I know. It's not really a fair question.
So if we're talking like mass produced, available at every grocery store, some of the Famous Dave's sauces.
Famous Dave's is fantastic. Yeah. All of a sudden, I can see it, and I can't think of the brand name of it. They have like the brown sugar and honey variants, and it's just like it. It's the most common thing in the world, but it's so good now all of a sudden I can't think of it.
Oh, you know, another one that's they've been selling just recently, they started putting it in the grocery stores, is the Kinder's sauces.
Oh, okay.
They come in like a little squeeze bottle with a nozzle and everything at the top. And
all right, fair enough. What is it? Sweet Baby Ray's. That's the one I buy all the time.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's reliable. It's very, very reliable.
And affordable.
Exactly. It has all the things I need for a family of five. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So this is one of those, you know you're living in La La Land when It's not quite. Maybe it's a sign of the apocalypse. Remember when Bobby Ross used to do Sign of the Apocalypse? I'm gonna have to bring that back for him. People are getting a new kind of cosmetic surgery. It's not that new. I'd heard about this before, but it's becoming more prevalent. Permanent eye color change. Keratopigmentation. They cut 1,000 little dimples in your cornea, and then they fill it, donut-shaped holes, and then they fill all the little dimples. Like, they make a golf ball out of your cornea, and they fill all the little dimples with, you know, permanent ink that's blue or green or, I guess, theoretically pink. I mean, I don't know. And then they cover it over, and then you have pink eye, but not the bad kind, or green eye or blue eye. $12,000. Apparently not in the U.S., I guess, but elsewhere. This one person they were interviewed for the story in Europe, he's done 400 surgeries. They take about 30 minutes, and they cost $12,000, so he's doing okay. But permanent eye discoloration for the purpose of finally having the green eyes that you always wish you'd had or the brown eyes that you wish you had. I just don't understand. It's like, this is the world full of people I live in, and I don't get these people.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Coast-to-coast storms could disrupt some Thanksgiving holiday travel plans from west to east this week.
For the west, rain along the coast and snow for the higher elevations. 3 to 4 feet will pile up over the Sierra Nevada range and into the Rockies. We also have two storms back-to-back for the eastern third of the country, bringing snow for the Great Lakes, the upper Midwest, and interior northeast, rain for parts of the southeast, the mid-Atlantic, and the coastal northeast.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. At least one crew member is killed, 3 injured in a DHL cargo plane crash in Lithuania's capital.
It skidded into a house after crashing a mile short of the airport at Vilnius. Security camera footage shows the aircraft descending rapidly out of sight before a fireball fills the night sky. 12 people on the ground were taken to safety.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The cause of the crash is under investigation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 58 degrees right now. Looks like partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Hundreds of people showed up to receive free medical care over the weekend when remote area medical set up at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds.
Pensacola itself is considered a healthcare desert, and that includes dental and medical. So we're here to fill in that gap.
That is Ram Clinic Coordinator Haley Vitetto, and the clinic offered general health, women's services, vision, even dental care. Medical professionals donated their time for the event so people could get the free care. The clinic said folks were lining up as early as 4 a.m. to be the first in line for services the next morning. Well, good news for fishermen and fisherwomen. There's an extra 17 days being added to this year's red snapper season over the holidays. The extension is meant to make up for some of the lost fishing days due to hurricanes Helene and Milton this year. Red snapper fishing will be open November 28th through the 30th, the first 3 weekends in December, and it will remain open from Christmas Eve all the way through New Year's Eve. Governor DeSantis said that there will also be discounted fishing and hunting licenses, and this is the second consecutive year for that. Short-term fishing and hunting licenses and state sportsman licenses for anybody under 18 will be half off through January 3rd. Santa Rosa County has opened a new public fitness court. The Navarre Public Fitness Court is located at the Navarre Sports Complex on High School Boulevard. County officials say that's free and open for county residents to improve their health and make connections. The court was also paid for with a $30,000 grant from the National Fitness Campaign and $140,000 from the half-cent sales tax money. Democrat Senator Tammy Duckworth is open to confirming President-elect Trump's cabinet picks, but says they want them to go before the Senate for confirmation. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, Duckworth said she's willing to confirm some of Trump's nominees, but the senators need the chance to evaluate their qualifications.
I think that's all we senators are saying is, let us do our job. Send these people to us. We will ask the questions. She will have a hearing, and then we will vote.
The Illinois Democrat praised Trump's pick for Secretary of State Marco Rubio, saying he's a good friend and a colleague who is definitely qualified for the job. Well, Michael Waltz is trying to ensure there's a smooth transition between the Biden and Trump administrations. The Florida congressman was picked by Donald Trump to be national security advisor. Waltz told Fox News Sunday he's been working hand in glove with the current national security advisor, Jake Sullivan. Waltz also said that we are one team, and if our adversaries think they can play one administration off the other, they are wrong. Senator Rick Scott says he wants to be part of Donald Trump's plan to reform government. Senator Scott announced last week he's joining the Senate DOGE Caucus. DOGE, or the Department of Government Efficiency, is Trump's creation to identify and eliminate government waste. Scott wrote on X over the weekend that sunshine is an incredible disinfectant, and he says it's time to shine a light on government waste and cut all of the reckless spending. He also said he can't wait to work with Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, and DOGE to make the country great again. 6:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No new accidents to let you know about. Everything is actually flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110, not seeing any delays either. Neither Highway 90 if you're coming from Payson to Pensacola. It all looks good right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a small chance of a stray sprinkle, 20% chance of rain overall, high today near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. Keeping an isolated rain chance for that Tuesday morning, 20% chance of rain, high near 74 Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 58 degrees in Pensacola, 58 in Gulf Breeze, and 55 in Milton. Partly cloudy right now. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors weighed President-elect Donald Trump's Treasury Secretary pick and eyed a key inflation reading due later this week. The 10-year Treasury was down 6 basis points to 4.35%. Futures have risen after President-elect Donald Trump signaled that he will nominate hedge fund executive Scott Bessent as his Treasury Secretary. Trump, in a statement, called the prospective nominee one of the world's foremost international investors and geopolitical and economic strategists. The Louisiana Public Service Commission has approved a $1.2 billion deal for Delta Utilities to acquire CenterPoint Energy's natural gas distribution operations in Louisiana and Mississippi. The deal includes 12,000 miles of CenterPoint pipelines in the two states. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 461, the NASDAQ up 6. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Daryl's Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the area. And this holiday season, they're featuring baby lock machines with many models in stock and starting at just $249. Radiance, the newest baby lock model, will be arriving soon. Black Friday deals include get a free baby lock trolley carrying case or a machine cover with a machine purchase. Financing is available. Call 850-438-5444. Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewingandpensacola.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all.
When Pete Hegseth meets with senators today, he may get asked about his views on women serving in the military. The defense secretary pick has repeatedly said he doesn't think women should be allowed to fight on the front lines. But current defense secretary Lloyd Austin spoke exclusively with NBC News, and he disagrees.
They do impact readiness. They make us better. They make us stronger. And again, what I've seen from our women is quite incredible. And I'm not, this is not hyperbole. This is fact. I'm just telling you what I've seen.
This is going to be a very interesting conversation if Pete Hegseth gets past the kind of alleged scandal stuff and gets to actual confirmation hearings. The conversation about women's role in the military, should it be 100% of everything available? Should it be only up to certain things, not including, for example, frontline infantry? You know, that's kind of where this conversation is, you know, poignant for him, because he hasn't said no women in the military, but he has said he doesn't think that women ought to be, you know, basically on the front lines, kind of that idea, which there's a lot of people who agree with that sentiment. What would that practically mean for the military to resegregate to a degree? And it's a very interesting question. Stephanie Rule talking with Mark Milley, General Mark Milley, about this.
What's your take on women in combat in the military? Yay or nay?
Women have been in combat. And it doesn't matter if that 7.62 hits you in the chest. No one gives a shit if it's a woman or a guy who pulled that trigger. You're still dead. So if you meet the standards, our military must be and always should be a standards-based, merit-based military. Period. Full stop.
That's an interesting choice, because unless I'm mistaken, I think the 7.62 would have been an M249 or with the old M60 kind of round, not just typical M16 round, which would be, you know, 5.56. But it's an odd choice for him to. I guess he's imagining that you've got a woman up on the saw on top of the Hummer is kind of what he's thinking about. And certainly he's correct. The ability to use the technology change, but the ability to lug that technology around is one of the things that people would talk about. You know, how many rounds can the average woman carry compared to the average man? How easy is it or not easy is it for her to set that saw up on the ground as opposed to when it's mounted in a Humvee where it's a little bit easier? What if you have to vacate the Humvee and you can take your weapons? I mean, those are the kind of questions that people ask, right? And because we live in an environment that has so internalized modern feminism, you're thought of as some Neanderthal for even asking the question, which has kind of been the point of the anti-DEI movement, right? Is it's asking the question about whether these things do affect readiness, whether they do affect lethality, whether they do make our military less or more effective at doing its primary mission of winning wars. Because if having women fully integrated makes us more capable, well, theoretically, you would say do that. And if having women fully integrated into every role makes us less capable, theoretically, you would say, well, don't do that. And if it has no impact, then you might say, well, since it has no impact, are there any other factors worth considering? Second or third level questions, right? And something like fairness might then come into play. But fairness is not that important if what you're talking about is lethality. You know, fairness is secondary. Effectiveness is the primary question. So that was actually from late last week, but Pete Hegseth continues to be the conversation as a Secretary of Defense. Tammy Duckworth being asked about him yesterday. Let's see, this is Face the Nation, if I remember correctly, with Margaret Brennan.
I want to start by asking about Pete Hegseth.
This sounds like Dana Bash.
He's a retired major in the Army National Guard, Bronze Star recipient. He served in Afghanistan and Iraq. He has degrees from Princeton and Harvard. You say he's deeply unfit and wholly unqualified despite those credentials. Why?
He never commanded a unit. He never commanded a company, let alone battalion brigades or whole armies. He was a platoon leader. He served at a very low level in the military. And we're talking about an organization that is 3 million servicemen and women and civilians and a budget of over $900 billion. He does not have the experience to run an organization of that size. So just based on those requirements alone, he is unqualified for the position.
See, I actually agree with her about that. I've said from the beginning that Pete Hegseth to me was a head scratcher. Can't make sense of it. Doesn't fit. Doesn't have the experience you want. Certainly we can find somebody with the high level managerial oversight, military familiarity experience we want, who doesn't believe in DEI and wants to get in and clean things right. Is Pete Hegseth the best person for that? It seemed like a not fit for me from the beginning. But the thing he's getting attacked on now heavily is not the experience nor the allegations, but the women in the military stuff.
Straight up, just not women in combat roles. It hasn't made us more effective, hasn't made us more lethal, has made fighting more complicated.
What's your response?
Well, he's wrong, because the women have made us more effective. In fact, our military could not go to war without its 223,000 women who serve in uniform. We would have an ineffective military that was not capable of deployment if we were to pull out all the women and say, you cannot be in combat.
And okay, so there's a lot of them that agreed. Does it make us more effective, and would it change effectiveness if it's in, you know, again, frontline roles? Because I don't think there's anybody saying that women shouldn't be drone operators. I mean, that would be kind of a silly thing to say, right? It really has to do with primarily physical strength, agility, the ability to pull a body, carry a person out, medic, you know, that kind of stuff. Nobody's talking about what Tammy Duckworth did, which was a helicopter pilot. Although maybe, and see, I have to defer a lot to people who have experience in the field. You know, I just don't know about male and female endurance levels or strength issues when it comes to being a pilot. You know, maybe there are differences, but they're not significant enough. I mean, I know some really, you know, great female pilots, right? Who, by all accounts I've been told, are the same as men. So I would have to take that as the given. Is that true for when you're talking about flying a B-2 from Whiteman all the way over to your target, you know, across the world? I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't personally know enough to know. But that would be the only question I would care about. I mean, that's not true. It's not the only question I care about. I also care about other matters like, I think that you introduce a change to the culture of a military unit when you have integrated genders. Why? Because men and women working in close proximity together always carries implications. Just period. Always carries implications. You know, for romantic feelings, for the distinctions between the gender and how we behave around each other. Does it make us better? Does it make us worse? Does it carry risk? All those questions I want answered, but I mean, I think those are fair things to ask. In addition to the just plain strength and stamina kind of stuff. If you don't believe men and women should be competing against each other in sports, then you have at least the seeds of the idea that maybe men and women shouldn't be fully integrated in frontline strength-based, speed-based, agility-based, endurance-based roles in the military, right? You know, should there be two women and two men in every tank or whatever? You know, like, I mean, I don't know. It's not so much a strength issue at that point, given modern technology, but what's the culture inside the tank? Better, worse, the same? I don't know. Those are the questions. And we're like told you can't have these conversations, right? There's other stuff I'll get to in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and Airport, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, somebody says here, Andrew, you know the 7.62 is also AK-47. Oh, yeah. I mean, I took that for granted. I was saying that What Millie was saying is that a woman pulling a trigger on our side can hurt them. I, you know, I, so I, yeah, I mean, of course, right. Sorry, I sometimes take too many things for granted. Back to Pete Hegseth and the Women in Combat and Tammy Duckworth's comments on this, who, of course, is a veteran herself. Wounded, she's, you know, lost both of her legs in helicopter combat.
For those women who are in roles such as the infantry or Navy SEALs, those women have met the same standards as the men in order to be assigned to those positions. So, again, this shows that Mr. Hegseth is not qualified for the position because he doesn't understand, apparently, even after having served, that women are actually vitally important to an effective military. And with the recruiting challenges we're having right now, if we were to pull all those women out and say, you can't go into combat, we would face a severe personnel crisis in the military.
Now, maybe was it the previous clip? I swear she said somewhere that there were Navy SEALs. Was that in this one?
Our military could not go to war without its 223,000 women who serve in uniform. We would have an ineffective military that was not capable of deployment if we were to pull out all the women and say, you cannot be in combat.
Sorry, I'm doing this kind of live on the air.
Because the women have made...
Yeah, I swear she said that we have female SEALs. And I'm like, I don't think we do. In fact, I'm pretty sure we do not. Which is, again, a strength and speed and agility and endurance and, you know, kind of base thing. Anyway, here's one other thing. Somebody actually texted this in, and a woman actually texted this in and says, well, women's bodies do different things occasionally. How do you accommodate that? Well, that's a challenge. I mean, that's a fact men don't have to deal with, right? Does that change readiness? Okay, well, you know, Andrew, you're not supposed to talk about that. Okay, are you in a relationship? Okay, are you in a relationship? Are you married or even not married? Women's bodies are different than men's bodies, and they do things occasionally. Does that affect women ever? Does that affect their ability to do things ever? Does that make them uncomfortable or unhappy or, like, you know it does? And so how does that affect every role that women would be involved in? I mean, the infuriating part about political correctness, what today is wokeism, right, is that there's something wrong with you if you ask reasonable questions. These are reasonable questions. They might have good answers. But how do you know you have good answers if you're not even allowed to ask the question? Oh, what's wrong with you, you sexist? But for believing that the sexes are different and they have different bodies and they have different designs and they have different body chemistry and that women ovulate and that may have an effect on how they do a role over the course of time? Have you never met women? You've known women though, right? You've never observed any woman ever having any effect of any kind because her body does something different once a month that men don't do? It doesn't exist. Is that where we're at now? We're pretending that that's not a real thing? Aside from just the logistics of that being challenging, which they are, different from men, maybe it doesn't matter much. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter much. Maybe it doesn't matter enough to care about that as a first order priority. But isn't that a conversation worth having? And I'm just curious, like, how many of you, 437-1620, how many of you really, really, really believe that women ought to be in every single role in the military, fully integrated at every level of unit with men? And how many of you are at least unsure? Unsure. Because, by the way, Tammy Duckworth is absolutely right. If we take women out of the military, we will not meet our recruitment goals. We need women in the military. And women do all kinds of things in the military. Does that mean that they should do everything in the military? And are they really meeting all the same exact standards for unit roles as men? I mean, these are the questions, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Hi, I'm Chad Pico with Affiliated Insurance. Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st. This year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get personalized support from an appointed Florida Blue agent. Our agents are trained to help you find a health plan that fits your lifestyle and budget, not theirs. It's about finding the right plan for you and not the price. Call 850-477-5840 to schedule an appointment with your Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
You're listening to the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You're a great cheerleader, Aaron. It's just that maybe you're not exactly boyfriend material. Bye-bye.
No 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Talking about a lot of gender issues this morning, but it's been in the news quite a bit. Whether it's bathrooms at the Capitol or women serving in every role in the military, as the Pete Hegseth nomination is bringing up as a subject that I think has been made taboo and should not be taboo because, you know, you make taboos around discussing things when you don't have the right answers. Right? When ideology takes over in for what, you know, supposedly they are the party of science. You know, like, and I'm just asking kind of fact questions. Somebody texted in as a pilot, says, I've been deployed with female pilots and, you know, none of these issues arise to being anything that would interfere or be a negative. And in fact, in some ways, women enhance the culture of the pilot group. Great. That's an answer. It's a good answer. You know, I don't have answers on a lot of these things. I just think we ought to have the conversation. And dismissing somebody's question out of hand that they, you know, women maybe should be limited in their, you know, frontline roles in the military, dismissing that as ridiculous or sexist or inappropriate, okay. I'll give you this. This is just kind of another story on the subject. Actually, I'll get to it in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Just minor delay there, but I wanted to let you know about it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. The Navy is, this is a related story to the whole gender thing. The Navy is going to be, is making a submarine designed to have an integrated crew. Like they are configuring it in order to have out of a crew of about 135, 40 women on board. Because the claim is that studies show that fully integrated, diverse crew in a submarine performs better, 15 or 20% better. But, you know, they have to do things like they have to change, you know, more sleeping and bathing areas, more doors for better separation, steps to the three high bunk beds instead of just, you know, hoist yourself up to it, lower and easier to turn overhead valves because of strength issues. Does that make a submarine better, worse? I don't know. I never captained a submarine. What do I know? May be better. You know, men are happier when women are around. Are they happy for reasons that interfere with the military mission? I don't know. But ask the question and talk about the question. Instead of, well, you can't have that conversation because, you know, you're not supposed to think that way. What? Why? You know, why? 437-1620. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Global security issues are the main topic of discussion during President-elect Trump's weekend meeting with the head of NATO. Trump met with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte in Palm Beach on Saturday. Rutte became the new head of NATO back in October. FAA staffing shortages could cause holiday air travel delays this week. The Federal Aviation Administration says they're trying to avoid air traffic slowdowns as long as the skies stay safe for travelers. And as far as travel goes, tomorrow is expected to be the busiest travel day of the holiday season so far, with about 3 million travelers expected.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. And, you know, we're getting all kinds of texts in on this. Diverse crews go to space. It's cool that they're going under the ocean. Somebody else says, I was on a carrier in the late 80s, all men. I can assure you it's a distraction for men to have women on board. I mean, like, I've been around women. It's a distraction. I mean, it just is, right? Men and women working in close proximity to each other is different from all men environments. You know that.
You're listening.